This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Actually, it will. Let's just go straight into it. It is a two-hour Family Matters extravaganza. Thank you, Miss Hagen.
Thanks, Miss Hagen.
And tonight on Family Matters here at Joy 94.9, we've got the whole team in.
Oh, my God.
Squad goals.
When was the last time this happened?
A very long time ago. I don't think it actually has. So in the studio, we have the lovely Steph.
Hey, Gina.
Hey, darling. We've got David Beckett.
I was like, Steph.
Hashtag find David date hasn't happened for how many episodes, David?
70 episodes of Family Matters.
70 episodes and we still haven't found you a date. Miss Beck, beautiful doll.
Hashtag still can't find bloody David date.
And Mama Mish over here, how you doing?
Doing good. Love yourself.
Very good. Now, if you've been following our socials on Family Matters, you'll see we're taking a little bit of a holiday. We're all a bit tired. We're all a bit busy.
Vacation.
I'm coming back to take a vacation from my vacation.
Pretty much. But Family Matters are taking a break because we're extraordinarily busy. Dave, what are you doing over the summer break?
I'm heading to Europe for quite a few weeks and also South Korea.
But Dave, you have big news though, don't you?
Well, I'm going to reveal it later on. Oh, okay, yeah.
You got some big news? All right. Beck, what are you doing over the holidays?
Well, I'm going to Europe too, awkwardly. I haven't told Dave about that.
If anybody watches the socials, there's one person that always follows me to every event I go to, and it's Beck. Stay away. I've got an AVO against you.
I know. I'm going to see if I can hashtag find Dave a European date.
Ooh, I like this idea.
And you wonder why you can't get a date, because you're there with us.
Because I'm always there. Exactly.
Every nearly near date I've gone on to, they said, can you not bring your mum this time?
There is Steph. Steph, you're the mama here also in the team.
That's not what nice have you day.
Oh, see, he got school.
Thank you,
Steph.
Look in the corner. The book.
Steph, what are you doing over the break?
I'm not going to Europe, sadly. I am staying in Melbourne and working and kids and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So, Mish, what about you?
Mish.
Look, I've had my American holiday. Now I'm back and actually getting some great diversity work over the holidays and leading up to January. So
Silly season.
Yep, bring it.
Totally.
What about you, Gina? What are you doing while we're having a break?
Well, I'll be busy working. As you know, I take my role of producer here at Family Matters really seriously. In fact, so seriously, when I was looking at our content for the next grid, I thought we've got a bit of a gap. And I thought, I've taken it that seriously that I've decided to have a baby. So
what?
In December.
What? Are you serious?
What? We'll be back with
you're on Family
in
Matters.
Just a sec.
You are listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. I'm Beck.
Thank God we can turn mics off during the songs.
I know. People would alert something. Gina.
Yes.
Talk about dropping a bombshell, mate.
Just what, David's into a new song. Coffee order?
Yeah, David's new coffee order. The fact that I'm following Dave to Europe.
Yes, totally.
But also, what was that you said?
So, like I said, I take the role of producer extremely seriously. Yeah. I'm researching to the depths by having a baby.
You're having a baby?
Well, not me personally.
I was going to say, you look quite skinny.
Thank you very much. I do need to work on that to be a belly, but yes, my partner
your
is
lady.
Having a baby. And what I love most, it's due at Christmas.
You're having a festive baby.
I'm having a Christmas miracle.
Well, you know what? Because you're having the baby Jesus, we thought, what better way to spend our last show than by giving you some advice that you may not need?
Totally.
And we're going to have
the whole of Family Matters, the whole team don't have kids.
Like, as if I know what I'm talking about, but here we go. So we're starting with quite the pair, aren't we, in this studio today.
Pair.
We thought, let's bring in the lesbian heavyweights.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. One with a baby, one with not. They're both very well known to anyone on Joy. D, Fiona, welcome.
Welcome.
Let the games begin.
Now, the reason D, we might have some people going, why is D here? But
yeah.
D.
Yeah, has she lost her watch? Does she think it's 4 o'clock?
Possibly. But D, you have one of the most funniest segments on The Drive Show.
I do.
Which is, please.
I have a little segment, and let me just back it up. Thank you. Congratulations, by the way, Gina.
Thank you.
Last time you hear it from me.
I was the first to know.
were you there?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I, of course, am on Thursday Drive, Daniel Mason, driving you homo. And we have a little segment called Parenting Advice from a Single Childless Lesbian, which started as a joke, but as people take it quite seriously.
They really do.
And it started because I find, you know, you're out in the world in life and people say, what would you do, Dee, if you had a child? Because you've got no idea and you don't care.
Do people say that a lot to you?
Never. Mm. I've got siblings, all of them with children, and they never ask my advice.
But
or
we've
anything.
All been children at some point.
Oh, I love it.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's
but I was a child, of course, in the 60s, so I've got very, very 60s sensibilities. I just, I know.
I thought you were at least 37.
I am.
Beck's 21.
Yeah, I'm 21, so.
Has been 21 for the
and then
last 10
years. Fiona has had a baby.
I have.
You have?
Literally.
Literally.
Not I take
right
this
now.
Segment very seriously.
You do. I know because we've had you twice on, talking about conception
that's
fun
right.
stuff.
You had me on when I was pregnant and then post.
Post.
Yeah.
Baby. Not post
Where
surgery.
Are you now?
Post, yes.
This is a radio slut. She's been on my show. I've been on her show. You've been on her.
No, we've been all alone.
Well, only, you know what? There's only four lesbians. Three actually. I'm going to rotate around.
That's our next grid, actually.
I know. I feel left out now.
Don't feel left out.
Now, you actually get complaints about your segment.
We do, which I love.
Like actual complaints.
Actual complaints. People do actually text in saying, what would she know? She doesn't have a child. And I'm like, that's the gag.
Have you not heard the name of the segment?
And we do. And look, we should probably do a podcast shuffling in all of the advice bits, and we'll get Nicole onto that. But if I could give you one bit of advice.
Bit of cherry advice.
Just one. And if this is just my mic drop and run moment, you will find that baby so beautiful. And so will your partner.
But it's probably dog.
That's
ugly,
it.
Isn't it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I will say things like, that is a good looking baby.
Yep.
If it's not good looking, you say, it's an old soul.
Oh, yeah. Old soul.
Okay, taking notes.
He's been here before. If somebody says to you, he's been here before.
I've got an ugly.
I got,
you got a monkey.
Got an ugly.
If it comes out in any way, Ginge, in any way, just keep it on wraps for a couple of weeks because it could turn blonde.
Everyone involved is ethnic. I have a feeling we're clear of the ginger. Really?
You can't be too careful.
No. You don't know. There's throwbacks at go-go.
You got a little redhead.
Well.
He's sandy.
I waited until he turned blonde
like
to take him out.
Chuck him in the sun.
Yeah.
It could happen.
Yeah. No.
Put a bit of like lemon juice in their hand because when the sun goes on that, it makes it lighter.
Never too early for the upside.
You know, some of the advice that you get might be just a diet.
No.
You know what they do in Asia? They shave the baby's head.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Why is that?
The baby's got hair. Because just to keep it even, because you kind of get that womb hair. And then
womb hair is something
out.
I never thought I'd
womb
hear.
Hair. Yeah, and then it grows out, and then new hair grows, and it looks weird.
There are photos of me born, and of course, Greek bubba, 10 kilo big bubba. And there was a record number of births at the Mercy that night, but they were all Anglo, little babies around me with no hair. Then there was me with this thick mop of hair on my head, and the nurses used to put ribbons in my hair because they'd never seen a baby with that much hair. I was an old soul,
womb hair.
Clearly.
Mm.
Clearly
actually,
an old soul.
I put the word out to – I'm part of an online parenting group, and I put the word out to the ladies and said, I'm going on the radio, need to hear what your bad advice, parenting advice has been.
Do you get lots though?
Well, one of them got some advice from their Greek neighbour.
Okay.
Which did involve alcohol and illicit drugs.
a bit of brandy.
What, for the conception or for the child?
But it was a bit of ouzo because they were Greek.
Yeah.
Teeth, wasn't it?
Yeah,
teeth.
Of course. And then another lady said, oh, don't be silly, it's whiskey.
Yes.
No, we had brandy, a little bit of brandy. They'd rub it on your gums.
Yeah.
I still do it if I'm tired.
I was going to do that. I often do that over Friday evening when I go home from work.
Really? Well, gin in the, I think it was 1730s, was something commonly, I've been doing my research, commonly given to children because the water and milk itself was actually not that clean. So gin in England.
Killed the germs.
Killed, don't want to keep keep reading that article because I think it killed more than germs.
Did you read that article specifically because you're having a child?
Oh, well, because I like gin as well and I've got a very big selection.
Just Google gin and children?
Yeah.
There's a Christmas edition now in gin.
So, you know what, I don't know if you and your partner plans to have other children with you, but I'm the fourth child.
Catholic?
No. Ah. Hugely Methodist.
Ah. Anyone that's got more than three kids, I always assume they're Catholic.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But I think that what you've got there is, and I can identify it early for you here, is your first child syndrome.
Yeah.
You're going to knowledge up right about now, and then you're going to get really, really sick of that. So
I'm someone who doesn't like to – I learn by doing. So I have deliberately not read a single parenting book.
Just the gin stuff.
The gin stuff, because that was on the internet. Stuff. The important stuff. My partner's read everything.
Oh, no.
And I know I'm going to learn by doing, by breaking a lot of stuff. Hopefully not the baby. That's how I'm going to learn how to do stuff. But, Fee, what has been some of the most ridiculous? Because you know what? The minute people hear, the minute our friends and family have heard, the advice that is it's astounding.
Well, you know what's funny, being uniquely lesbian, having done IVF to get, you know, pregnant, because Renee's sperm count was very low.
So was mine.
I'm all right.
I tried and tried, like Renee. Yeah. We gave it a good hot shot, but...
I had some advice and I found out there was other lesbian couples that had this advice of, why don't you both get pregnant at the same time? Like, are you clinically insane?
Because it's bad enough when we've got our periods at the same time. Yes. Being pregnant at the same time.
Let's just put all those hormones and
Can we talk pregnancy hormones? I'm a bit scared. The partner might be listening, but I'm a bit scared. Literally, I'm scared to go home. They're scary hormones.
That bad.
How are your hormones?
Look, I was an angel.
Lol.
So pleasant.
Renee has quickly messaged in.
She's calling butter. No, look, it is real. Like, you think you're in control of your emotions and then you get pregnant. The first 3 months, I literally would just break out crying for an hour.
Oh.
And I'd have, what about nothing? Like, I'd have to.
Is it because the Hawks were losing?
Yeah. That was during those 86-point losses.
Yeah, that's right.
But what's some of the terrible advice you've received thus far, or your friends on the socials?
That was definitely right up there. One terrible piece of advice was, don't let your kid nap. It'll sleep better at night.
And then did your kid just scream?
No, you don't. That's like the craziest thing you could – I mean, the kid would be a rat.
Let it nap.
Yeah, let the kid sleep when it wants to sleep.
I'm crappy if I nap, but I know it's not about me, so carry on.
Don't let Dean nap. She'll sleep better at night.
She'll sleep better at night. Mm.
For those playing at home.
That's right. Gina, yes. I am concerned about...
Most people are.
..whether you can take a baby to a pub.
Oh.
Because that is one of my concerns if I ever have children.
I think you have to breastfeed it if you do. You have to be breastfeeding it at all times.
Yeah, okay.
Well, apparently you can have a drink while you're breastfeeding.
Oh.
So, again, a gin bit of unsolicited.
On the gin site.
Because by the time that booze hits your system, it's kind of, you know.
It's all about timing.
I think about timing.
If you're having Kahlua, it's fine.
Yeah.
Because that goes with the milk.
If you've got Ouzo on the teeth of the baby while you're drinking.
Yeah.
But then, to be fair, Jenny, you're not going to be breastfeeding the baby, so you can probably drink as much as you like.
Possibly. I think I'm still drunk now.
Yeah.
That's part of the
Have you changed a nappy before?
Oh, wow.
Can I be honest? I had to change nappies for my niece and nephew, and they were, like, my nephew especially would never sit still when you change a nappy, and then I would come along. And here's this three-month-old that would give this look of empathy, knowing I have no idea what I was doing, and he would only be still for me. But, of course, I never put it on right, so number threes would go everywhere.
Number threes?
Because I was afraid that, like, you know, when they crap everywhere.
Oh, punami.
And it would, like, come out the bits and sides because I'd never put it on tight. I'm always scared that I'm going to, like, strangle the kid with a nappy.
No.
Don't put it on its head.
Well,
and a bit of unsolicited parenting advice.
Please.
Always give them something to hold in their hands while you're changing their nappy.
Never look at them in the eye.
just look away.
And don't have a nap.
Dee, what's been one of the most controversial bits of advice you've given on air?
I think sometimes, because a lot of it's tongue-in-cheek, and I do, of course, have a lot of nieces and nephews. And I love them dearly. I have changed nappies, God knows. But I do like to, I'm never really happy unless I've got some level of complaint going on. But it's a little bit of the old... seen and not heard. There is an element of truth to it, though. I hate it when you're in a cafe and you know, they just won't, the mother won't order because they want Jimmy to voice his own special little flower needs about what he feels
no
like.
One cares.
Nobody cares. Just
have a baby chino on nothing,
yeah,
Jimmy.
That's right. So little things like that. Sometimes I'll voice my opinions on that and people are like, you don't know what it's like. I'm like, yes, that's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fee?
I don't know how you do it though, really. Yeah. I ran into Fee at the Queenscliff Music Festival this weekend and I thought, wow, that's a big
call. That's awesome.
Like, it's amazing that you can take Jackson to an event like that. And I was thinking, they're very resilient, aren't they? Because if I had a small child, I'd be like, whoa.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no, I take him.
But you're rocking him out.
I take him to the pub. Like,
he's got
three
his little,
times a week.
He's got his little headphones on. He seems quite perfectly happy.
Actually, Gwyneth Paltrow's kid has those headphones too for when they go to Coldplay concerts.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, yeah.
So
actually, that was
their noise cancelling.
Yeah, I bought Jackson the earmuffs for those. That festival, it lasted 3 seconds. I got the photo in and put it on Instagram, and then
yes, we saw.
Yeah, but. Who cares? Like, it was on Instagram. Isn't that why you do
it?
It
really happened.
Yeah. Well, you got to get that sorted too, Jeannie. Right. You got to do some posed Instagram.
Okay, I got to pretend like everything's going.
Yeah.
I do have some guidelines about that.
Please.
Actually, if I'm honest. Maximum, and I'm talking maximum. This is special event maximum, 4 posts per week.
Yep, I'm good with that. That's enough.
4 a week? How many do you do, Faye?
I do a lot.
Yeah, she does do
Jackson
a lot.
Jackson goes viral.
Good issues. And also in person, IRL. Yes. Like, I will look at photos of your dog and perhaps even what you ate for longer than I look at your baby. So just be mindful. Maybe 4 in a sitting.
Yes.
Particularly if the baby is right there.
Yeah,
and I can see it in real life.
I can look at it in real life. Yeah.
I do a photo grid with 4.
Oh,
yeah, there you go.
What's the latest hashtag for baby? Like, I know my Insta dog won't.
Oh, yeah, there's a hashtag baby spam.
Baby spam?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then everyone follows them. Anyway.
If you're at a loss for any sort of advice, I do like to – it's a perverse obsession, but I accidentally happened upon a Christian mummy blog.
I love to hate.
And I got in there and I just – and it's a great source for our segment on because they just are really off chops.
Other than wanting a man and woman as parents, what other advice would they like to
– Oh, it's all about, you know, getting your kid all up with Jesus and that. But they're really on about – it's very preachy about this is the way we raise our children in God's love and this is what you need to do. And it's just great because it's so – I did this and this is what you should do. And I'm always like,
are you planning to raise your baby in God's love, Gina?
Well, funny enough, there was a Tennessee preacher, Michael Pearl, who outraged everyone. And I think this was actually a decade ago. He wrote a book with his wife to train up a child. Let's just say this book has been linked to the deaths of 3 children by abuse and neglect in the United States. Because he was all for flexible tubing as a use of discipline and wooden spoons on the children to stop them from being naughty. Now,
my mum
that kind of God's love
with a wooden spoon.
We had the wooden spoon until they kept breaking. So my mum would get out the Mason Pearson hairbrush and give us a thwack with that.
My mum broke the wooden spoon on me.
Yeah.
I had a broken wooden spoon.
Yeah, so
I
go
was
with
Greek.
That. Get a thick wooden spoon, though.
Well, the thing is, I was Greek, and as a child, you were actually forced to go and pick the stick outside that was going to smack you. So you stupidly would choose what looked like really small and bendy. No. Yeah, that just stings more. And that's the thing. I'm really scared. I was raised by very Greek strict parents.
Yeah, you should drink the ouzo.
I will. I probably
tell them you're teething.
Is your partner also Greek?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go.
We're in a lot of trouble. Yes.
Actually, I've had a few gender, you know, stereotype kind of advices. Like, you know, maybe you should get his hair cut so he doesn't look like a girl.
Everyone actually seems to care about the gender. Like, everyone's like, so what are you having? I'm like, baby.
A human.
Human. Child.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is?
Yeah, but, you know, we kind of found out and I was like, yeah, okay. I'm not painting anything a particular colour.
I've got to be honest, when people tell me what they're having and tell me what the name is, I'm like, that is such an anticlimax for me. Like, it's like they don't care about my desire to be excited about their child. Because then when you get your message, you're like, well, I knew you were having a girl called Mia Ray Chantel. Like,
Mia.
Mia.
Are there any names I should be avoiding?
So many.
So, isn't it well for me? I don't know about you, Fiona. You kind of go through the list going, dated that, can't
funny.
Do that. I had a girlfriend like that.
Yeah.
can't do any of that sort of stuff.
This is actually funny. At my mother's group, they went round a circle at the first one and said, okay, how did you come to the name? And I said, and then everyone went, oh, I'm, you know, Polish and my uncle did this in some war or something. And, you know, I went round the thing. Everyone had a really deep meaning. And then it got to me and I was like, well, we went to Google and best boys' names and just literally got a shortlist and
love it.
Found the one we liked.
Do you know what happened to me? So my mum and dad were convinced they were having a boy and then they had me. And mum got to the hospital. They had no name. Daniel Boone was on the television and his wife was called Rebecca. And mum said, well, she's quite nice.
Big Boone.
I'm like, she's an idiot because she married a guy with a raccoon on his head.
Love it.
That's how I got named after Boone's wife.
Absolutely love it.
Fun fact. My ex-partner just had a baby to another human. With another human. And she texted me the name of the child and the name of the child is the name of my mother's dog, which is when we were together, she knew that dog. And I said, but that was mum's dog. Yeah. And she goes, oh, she'd have forgotten.
That's really close.
That's so weird, right?
Their child's name's Rover.
Rover.
Yeah. That is a bit creepy.
Mm.
Sorry if your ex-partner's child is listening. That's really creepy. Whereas I was limited to names because I am a writer and a lot of my characters, I use the best names for my characters. And all my favourite names are now in stories that are in progress and they were all vetoed. And I'm like, oh, but that was such good names. Wasted it.
Are you on a name now?
Yeah, we are on a name now.
Is it a gender-specific name?
It is not a gender-specific name. And my partner and I have really ugly Greek surnames. So it was really important
that the first name...
Well, I'm not doing the hard work, so I said, you can take it, and you're far more successful than I am. So, like, why?
Gina Jr.
Yeah, pretty much. But I thought a two-syllable name, nice and strong, not too gender-specific.
Deanne.
Rebecca.
That's three.
Oh, yeah.
Fiona, sorry. Yeah.
Fisa.
Fisa. And then I'm going to have to find a football team, apparently.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask this. So,
well, I've got some unsolicited parenting advice for you on that one.
Please.
Hawthorn.
Carlton.
Crows.
All the Wogs go for Carlton. Is that not true?
Do we? I don't know.
Potentially,
that is the stereotype. You know that.
Well, that is our first segment of just some unsolicited parenting advice. I'm a little scared. We do need some advice. Please feel free to message in some bad and good advice on 0427 joy949. Email us on air@joy.org.au. Coming up next, we will also be speaking to Joe Hurst to give me a little bit of Italian style because she knows I'm Greek. Yes.
Cultural diversity.
Just do it, totally. She says.
Yep. Just do it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Family Matters, Joy 94.9. It's a two-hour special. People tuning in at 8 o'clock will be thinking,
what's going on?
Missed all the fun.
I know. But that's all right. They can get our podcast with all the other 70 podcasts we've got out there.
70 podcasts. My goodness. We've got some news, Gina.
We do. You've got a new coffee order, Dave.
I've got a new coffee order. That's the big announcement for today's episode.
Totally.
No. Yes. The biggest announcement.
Tell us, Steph. What's happening?
Oh, Gina.
You've been so cute in this, Steph.
I feel like I've lived this pregnancy.
It's been wonderful to share it with
you. Yeah.
You're pregnant, Steph.
No, my God, no. No,
Gina's not the partner. You're going to be a parent, Gina.
I am going to be a parent. Mama. And really, you know, when we pitched Family Matters, I was on outtakes and stuff. And, you know, I have been living this kind of world of, you know, conceiving and trying to fall pregnant
in fertility and adoption and all the sort of stuff.
And we've covered some really emotional stuff, haven't we? Especially recently.
But when I ventured into this land, you know, this new territory, I realised, oh my God, it's really not that queer friendly. It's not that lesbian friendly. And that's been my experience going through this. And it's a minefield. There's either too much information or not enough and incorrect information. And that was one of the triggers for getting this show together going, I need something where I can pull a bunch of really smart, good advice together and do it with a bit of fun.
I thought you were about to ask pulling together smart people. I thought, when are you going to start doing that?
That's our experts that we bring in, actually.
As a single gay man who's very naive and blasé, I'm the wrong person for this show.
But I think we've done a really good job. We've had some amazing guests on to give really sensible advice where sometimes there isn't much. You know, Dr. Ruth McNair, when we interviewed her about home insemination, we learned that there is actually not much information out there anymore to give people up-to-date advice as to how to do it correctly and safely.
Now, we've covered so many intelligent things. We've talked about legal things, birth certificates.
You name it.
citizenship and whatever else, the drama goes around there. But I was actually, during work today, I was on the socials and I started looking through the Family Matters, our lovely producer was tweeting, and there was something strange about airing a baby.
Yes. So you can air your laundry, you can air your dirty laundry, and apparently...
Don't answer that question in the tone that I shouldn't be knowing what airing a baby is.
And I put this out, and Steph, you started talking to me about being aired yourself.
Everything.
Explain to Dave.
Everything old is new again. In 1966, when I was born, my mother used to rub me down with baby oil and lay me in the Sydney sun to get some sun on my body. I mean, can you imagine doing that with a baby?
So what's the purpose of it? Is it something to do with vitamin D or something?
Yeah, what was your mum's than a glowing suntan?
Yeah,
and
well, that was the thing. She just thought it would make me look a little bit healthier and, you know, get a bit of sunshine and a bit of fresh air.
And was that common back in that time? Was every baby...
It was.
I can just imagine going down the city streets looking at the balconies and all these babies just laying out.
Oh, no. I mean, we were in suburban Sydney. I was in the backyard and I would have been probably in a little pram and, you know, rolled out into the sun. Yeah.
Maybe a little baby-sized solarium is what would have been the market back then.
Well, nobody really knew. Now you can't let a child play on a playground without a hat, sunscreen, full-length, you know.
Yeah. No hat, no play.
And they have just released a new brand of sunscreen that allows the vitamin D to go through. So, I mean, you know.
Wow, modern science.
So, Gina, tell me about modern airing of babies.
Well, this isn't modern airing of babies, thankfully, you know, but I think your mother read this book because in 1907 there was a book called The Care and Feeding of Children by L. Emmett Holt, who was a well-known male pediatrician in the day.
So he'd be an expert, yeah.
Yes. Now, I started reading some of this stuff about how one should air their baby, and it literally takes you through when and how you should take your baby out into the sun and how much air should be given to the baby. I mean, let the child breathe, for goodness sakes. But under the question of how much an airing should be given, you know, the child should, of course, first be dressed with a bonnet and light coat, as the street is, you know, a bit of, you know, scary territory. All the windows should be thrown wide open so you're kind of getting the child ready to be airing. So open up the windows, open up the doors. And even talking about what age you should be letting the children out, and it's usually within 1 month, let the children out to start getting inside. And it literally breaks down...
This is bizarre.
...when and how to air your baby.
Well...
And that it's good for health and growth, as good as proper food. So apparently that's, as you know, airing your child...
Well, if you're an error out there or you have some other parental advice that you could pass on to our very lovely producer, Gina... Text in.
Yes.
Let's hear the wacky and crazy ideas.
In Greek culture, we have this 40 days thing.
And I was going to ask you about that, Gina, because it's not so dissimilar from what this guy is saying. You know, you have a tradition where
the mother and baby stays in the house and don't leave the house for 40 days. You know what? I think it was back in the old days when hygiene and hand sanitizers weren't everywhere to be seen, that it was a way of, one, mum protecting herself and recovering, and probably a way of keeping the black plague away from the baby. I kid you not, I think it's that. But in Greek Orthodox culture, we don't go out with the baby until it gets a blessing. Like, it's that kind of... It's just known by every Greek person. They know you're not going to go and visit them. You're not going to take your child to a music festival or pub with the headphones, as we were talking earlier.
That is really bizarre.
But I've heard it in Asian cultures too, and they don't want the baby's spirit to be blown away by the wind. Yeah, so, I mean, there's all these sort of traditions around new babies.
So text in 0427JOY949 or you can email us on air at joy.org.au. We're going to get a few more mums in the studio soon.
I think
soon.
We need some more mums to... Give me some credit.
We're going to welcome back Mama Mish, who's our lovely Family Matters co-presenter, and also Joe Hurst.
The Gender Fairy.
The Gender Fairy is in the house, and she's going to pop into the studio right in a sec. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9. Family Matters, would you believe? Family Matters does karaoke.
Well, we might have a love song and dedication episode coming up, I hope, Jeff.
Gina, we've been on air, and you're all the lovely brains of our show. 70 episodes we've been on air for.
Oh, my God.
And did you know that one of the shows we had a very, very fantastic co-presenter of one episode?
Well, that co-presenter of that episode is here with us in studio.
Supermum Joe Hurst, the author of The Gender Fairy.
Oh, thank you very
much. Supermum.
Supermum. I don't know if my kids would agree with you there.
And you weren't brought in just to keep an eye on Dave and Beck because I didn't trust them. No,
oh, yeah.
that wasn't the plan at all.
And we've got Mama Mish back in the studio now
Mama
as
Mish.
Well.
I'm here. Yes,
Mama Mish, very excited to have you, Mama Jo, here in the studio with us. Thank you so much for joining us on this very special episode.
Oh, thank you for asking me for such a special episode. I'm absolutely honoured. I don't know what parenting advice I'm going to be able to give you apart from run. No, I'm just kidding.
Rum? Yes, rum.
Rum. Yeah.
We have talked a lot about gin and ouzo thus far.
Okay, so you've got all the important points there.
Yes, how to settle myself before I settle the baby. Clearly no alcohol.
Now, Mama Mish, you're a mother of two.
Yes.
What's your secrets?
To be honest, finding your inner calm. Like, I've been known as, like, the baby whisperer, so I'll just go and grab them. And sometimes they can just really detect your calmness.
Ooh, speed dial.
And
Mama
so,
Mish.
Yeah, and so I'm just like, sometimes it's just, I've taken babies off of other dads who have been absolutely like rocking the baby and ready to go. And just, I'm like, just give them to me. Woosa. You know, so yeah, it's really just being calm. But
yeah.
The big thing for me, where I remember, and it stands out so clearly, is I remember when they were born and they were put in my arms. And that will stay with you for the rest of your life. You just close your eyes and you just take yourself back there.
Really scared. Apparently they're really little.
They are.
They're really little.
Honestly, I was terrified. I was honestly terrified. I remember before I had my first baby thinking, am I going to love this baby as much as I love a puppy? Like, I honestly had no...
I'm worried about this.
Honestly, it's okay to feel that way. And don't put pressure on yourself. But when my first child was born, I just felt totally in love with him. But for some people, it takes time. So don't put pressure on yourself. That bond does grow over time. And if it's not instant, that's okay.
And
that's
I think by the time the child's 30 or 40 years old, I think you would probably love it by then.
You'll nail it.
Now, I know you might be like me. Like, as soon as the kid was born, both of them, especially my oldest, I was pretty much like one of those pacing lions. I'm like, everyone kept coming in the room. And I'm like, get out. I was just like, everyone was touching the baby and it was like, pass the parcel. So
I am super excited that we've got Jo, the lovely Mama Jo Hurst, in the studio. We'll be back with her in just a sec.
Welcome back to Family Matters. Are we back? What are we doing?
We are back.
Okay, great. So this is Mama Mish. I've got producer Gina. We've got the lovely Beck and Mama Jo. Now, Jo, we've had an amazing announcement within our community. The tea is getting a bit of love today. Look, you're the mama, so please.
Oh, it's wonderful news for families like mine with trans kids like mine. The family court. Beck, help me out if I get
my
this
hood.
Wrong.
Yep,
your hood. Beck, the lawyer. The family court have ruled that transgender teens, if they have the consent of parents and their doctors, can not have to go to court anymore for hormones, which is really, really exciting.
That is
now
massive.
That is very massive.
That is massive.
Now, for those playing at home who probably don't understand why this is so big.
It's massive.
Beck, can you explain this to us?
Yeah, look, I'm going to do it in very simple terms, but there's two stages of treatment that transgender kids go through. The first stage is reversible and they don't need court approval for that. But up until today, to get stage two treatment, which is irreversible, even if their parents agree, even if the doctors say it's right, they've had to go to the family court and have a judge say that it's okay for them to have that treatment. So it's a huge day because my take as a lawyer is that these kids are going through enough, let alone having to have a judge decide on top of that.
And Beck, you and I understand the court process, me because I love someone who's a lawyer, you because you live it. It's not done. You're in, an appointment is made. It is not that simple. It is not cheap. And it is scary walking into a territory of a courtroom. For those who don't know it, is intimidating.
It's scary,
and frightening.
But it's also the very idea that you don't get the same rights as other children. Mm. Like your brothers and sisters, they don't have to go to court to go through puberty. It's just wrong. So the idea that now my child he doesn't know that he would ever have had to go to court. And the idea of having to tell him that that was going to happen was horrifying me.
And people don't, like, and to really, really break it down, is the stage one is the hormone blockers. Mm. which will kick in as soon as the child hits a certain stage of their beginning stages of the secondary or puberty. Then it's that second stage that Australia was the only country in the world that you had to go to court. So Joe, as a parent, you could not just go to your GP and say, I give permission for my child to go on this. They've already gone through their psychiatrist, psychologist.
Like any other medical treatment.
Exactly. Yeah. You had no rights over your own child.
My child had no rights over their body.
Exactly. And that's just it. Like, you didn't have a say, your child didn't have a say, and we're the only country in the world that had this, and this has gone through today. That's why this is so damn important.
I think it's such a huge day, and I think as lawyers, as, you know, having worked on these cases, working in a firm that does these cases, they're one of actually the nice things we get to do because there's a happy ending for kids in them, but we just hate that we have to do them. Yeah. So I think even from, you know, speaking broadly from the legal profession, we were also relieved. And I think there's a lot of judges that were relieved have to make these.
How many judges had come out and said, like, were saying, why would we disagree with the medical experts that have given this advice? We'd seen reports from judges that had come out and said that publicly.
Nobody wanted this in the courts. And I think it was just looking for a way that we could work around the legal system to get this to work.
Yeah.
But you'd see all these, like, phenomenal costs that would be coming down. We would hear about, like, what it would cost for children to go to court to get these approvals. Yes, there's pro bonos, but not often you'd see that. But then you'd hear about these sorts of things.
Yeah, and look, I have to say, we've always done it pro bono. Yeah, a lot of lawyers.
I have to say that all of our kids have had pro bono. We've been really, really lucky because otherwise, but it's the stress, it's the time.
It's not just the financial cost, it's the emotional cost.
It's the time and the fact that puberty is catching up with these kids, and puberty blockers don't always work for a certain amount of time. And if your blocker stops working and you're going into puberty and your court case is not coming up, imagine the stress that's putting on a child.
I know, Mish, you and I were talking about this. Marriage equality outcome was relief. This outcome was excitement. This was something. I want people to come up and say congratulations. This is news worth celebrating because this is amazing news for our children.
Our community as a trans community needed this. Yeah. After what happened with the yes vote, there were so many of us who just felt left going, okay, so now this is done. You can go get married and now do your thing. Are you going to wave our flag too?
Totally.
And that's where we're going, okay, where do we go from here? So now, look, and so to break down the process of a trans woman who goes, I have to go see my GP, I go see a psychiatrist. After so many sessions, the psychiatrist then writes me a letter. I go and get onto my, you know, cross-sex hormones. What are the processes now for the children? Where does this go from here and how do the processes change?
They are led by their doctor. So it just... they're treated by their doctors like anybody else. However, if two parents do not agree, these cases are still going to have to go to court.
Okay.
And also cases where children are in foster care are still probably going to have to go to court. And this is where we still have a lot of work to do. And I have to say, like you were saying, Michelle, we do need to focus more on trans rights. Marriage equality is a wonderful thing. And also this judgment today is a wonderful thing. But we need so much more. This is just the start.
You know what we saw in the marriage equality debate? Had nothing to do with marriage. Who was thrown under the bus were our trans and gender diverse youth and our rainbow families.
That's right.
It had
the kids.
The debate that the was kids. Thrown at us had nothing to do with whether I could marry someone else. And that's what angered us, and that's what upset and frustrated us. And I'm still angry. Still furious.
Yeah, Magda Zabanksy said something that really resonated with me. She said they threw so much mud hoping some of it would stick. And you know what? Some does. And now we have to work at unsticking that mud.
All of us have to.
All of us have to work at that.
You know me. I constantly just, I smile. I'm always trying to find a way to find some humor. And I'll still smile and find a way to find humor in every little thing we do. And I do take everything very serious. And not many people actually, you know, understand that the humor is my way of just coping.
I know, it's that self-deprecating humor. Yeah. You and I have both been caught on that.
But the thing is what's happened for me since the yes vote, up until even to this now as well, I'm feeling more angry and I'm feeling more hurt. And part of me part of the reason why I buggered off to the States was I was sick of it. I was sick of the yes vote. I really couldn't watch
Yeah.
And I had to disconnect and go eat fried chicken.
Well, because I think trans people were really left behind, you know? Like there was this whole kind of movement that really left the trans community behind.
And they were the one, as we said, being thrown in front of the bus by some of those hideous campaigns that were at all those television ads. We know exactly, Joe, you probably got more publicity for the gender fairy, which, can I say, on a positive note,
well,
I have a copy of the gender fairy in the bookshelf that I have made for my newborn, and I'm
beautiful.
Looking forward to reading.
I will come and read it to your child when they're old enough to understand.
Actually, you know what?
I'll send you a copy of my new book.
even better. But that makes me excited to know that is there. That is there in my child's new bookshelf.
I'm pleased.
As is Introducing Teddy. They are
gorgeous
books. But unfortunately, you got more, you know.
Well, let's just say.
Is it good publicity or bad?
No, all publicity is not good publicity, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the trans community as well, as a parent of a trans child, and as a trans adult, in a lot of ways, I want to apologize to many of the parents, because you don't have many examples as trans adults to have your child look up to. Because most of the statistics, when you look at it in trans community, as a parent looking at your child comes out, you kind of go, well, great, my child is facing a rising number of trans rates, trans murder rates around the world. My child's facing a chance of prostitution. My child's facing a chance of unemployment. Me as a trans person, when it comes to dating, I probably, to be honest, this is the honest truth, I'll probably end up being single for the rest of my life because of this situation, because there's a lack of understanding. And so these are the things that these kids have to go through. But then to throw that court case on top of these kids, you're going, Jesus, this is not a great start.
And that's why I'm so excited. Recently, we mentioned it here, ABC did The Day of the Girl, and one of the shows that was shown
that
included
Evie's show.
And it was just beautiful.
The first time a trans actor has been cast in a trans role in Australia, and they did it so beautifully and so sensitively.
It was done really, really well.
Evie was fantastic.
Evie's just, and I actually ran into the director and producer of that TV show.
Did you?
Yes, at a conference recently where I fangirled Rose Troche to, you know, absolute extreme. But I ran into her and she was saying how Evie was just an absolute natural.
They
so
loved
Evie,
her. Yeah, she's got a big career ahead of her, that girl.
That was the word.
And you know what?
Out of there.
It's not about being trans. No. It's about being a really good actor.
Exactly. Yeah. She has got a great career ahead of her.
Exactly.
And it's not
about being trans.
Exactly.
And
here
I love
is
that.
A role model for other kids to see people like Evie at that age. That is amazing.
Yeah,
to see
fantastic.
Someone like Evie at that age representing the same way Georgie Stone is representing for other kids. So there was slowly.
There's so many young people coming up through the ranks.
Yeah.
And it gives me such a wonderful feeling to see all these kids.
And look, a lot of us older trans folk, we haven't given a good representation. We haven't given the chance to get a good representation. So the next generations that are coming through, like the under 25s that are all starting to really shine and grow and make names, I'm in a lot of ways, even though I'm looking down, I'm looking up to some of them as well because, you know.
Super exciting.
You know.
Every generation I notice is very different. There's you know, the teenagers now don't know what it was like to be, what it's like for the primary age children now. Mm. And the primary age children now will not know what it's like for the ones being born now. It's changing so rapidly.
Oh, look, and even myself, when I came out, you know, all my examples were a bunch of folks who were older, who had teenage to 20-year-old, you know, children are older and they're, you know, near retirement age or whatever. And I, to find another trans parent who's in their 30s, who's got children who are under teenage years.
But you are here on Family Matters being a role model for other trans parents. And that's the goal. That's the hope for us, to be better role models for other people out there. Now, before we do cut to the ads, we were saying, Beck, that some kids will still need to go and see lawyers in certain situations. What is the best steps for a family? 20 words or less. How can they get help? Because I know Sari and Nichols Law Firm are great supporters in this space.
Absolutely. So at Nichols Family Lawyers, we pride ourselves on this kind of work. So please get in contact with us because, as Joe said, even if, you know, the doctors agree and all those sorts of things, there's going to be cases where we're going to have to work with parents who don't agree on the treatment for their children.
And that's the mediation stuff that you guys were doing.
Absolutely. But going to court if you need to, because those cases are still going to exist because it's not uncommon for parents to disagree about this. But look, hopefully for the vast majority of kids, this is a really good thing.
But my question on that, though, is at what age does the child have the legal right to make that decision without both parents?
18,
like,
isn't
like,
it?
Like, is it like right now my kids, like if my oldest, even though I'm going through divorce and I've got a child who's 11, at a certain age, she can decide where she wants to live.
Yeah, look, what is that age?
Technically, parents have authority, for want of a better word, of their children till they're 18.
Okay.
And that's the same in foster care because the foster carers, as we've interviewed here, the minute that kid is 18 is no longer in their care, which is sometimes heartbreaking when we meet these long, and mostly we've met long-term foster dads, that, they're no longer the carers of these children. Yes, they still stay connected with them, but 18 is the cutoff there. But look, we will be coming back with a little bit more lovely Italian Mama Jo Hurst just after this.
Ah, molto bene.
You are listening to Family Matters here on Joy 94.9. As we mentioned at the top of the hour, we are breaking for holidays, so hence why you've got us for 2 hours and we give you some fabulous unsolicited parenting advice from some big expert parents here. We've brought in all the experts, and with us right now is the gorgeous Mama Jo Hurst. Welcome back, Mama.
Thanks, Gina. I just want to say, I think one of your biggest issues is going to be Greek grandparents. Can I just say that?
I know.
Yeah.
Yes.
How are they coping?
Look, you know, and I'd love to say it was seamless, that when Greek parents find out, you know what, my mum really took it hard when I came out.
Okay.
Right? So I didn't expect for her to be okay when I said, and now your lesbian daughter is going to have a baby.
Are you kidding? You're having a baby.
Thank you. So here was mum who rushed me to the GP when I was 16 to get me fixed when I came out, didn't deal with that well. Say the word child. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She just was so excited. She was, not threatening, but she wants to quit her job so that she can stay home and raise this baby.
See, I understand this. Okay, because my mum.
I love your nonna.
My mum is Italian, a nonna, right? So I grew up with a nonna and my kids have a nonna. There is nothing more important in my mum's life than her grandchildren. So I know that when we were in the hospital, she grabbed my newborn baby off my husband. And said, give him to me. I'll stop him crying, like literally out of his arms. And it's been like that ever since. I think, and the biggest problem is boundaries.
Is
With Italian and Greek grandparents. Start getting your boundaries.
Oh, my God.
But you know, you've got to love them.
Look, unsolicited parenting advice. So I've gone to some of those LGBTI birth classes and they've actually said, and I've sat there going, actually, that's a brilliant idea. Don't tell anyone the correct date of when the baby is due. Give yourself a couple of days and don't answer the door. Pretend you're not home. I'm thinking that's
Gina,
fabulous.
That is not going to work. Your mother will have a sixth sense about this baby.
She will. I'm sorry. And you think you can hide anything?
Fridge will be stacked full of food.
If I don't call every day at 1 o'clock, the phone is ringing. My mum goes,
but you know what? You are going to be so grateful for her.
Exactly.
I could not have got through my children being so young without my mum, honestly.
Okay, we're ethnic.
Mm-hmm, we are.
Steph is kind of looking at it. Look, you're fabulous at this because you research this stuff for your work.
Ah.
But we have some weird traditions. You have cornuto, we have the evil eye.
Yeah.
Did you have to follow those things?
Look, I didn't.
Okay.
There's a lot of things I didn't do. thank goodness.
Because Nonna would have been upset had you
when
not
my,
done
well,
some of these stuff.
You know, when I was born, because I was a girl, when I was 6 weeks old, my biz Nonna held me down on the dining room table and pierced my ears.
Oh, my goodness.
I was the only one of my cousins not to pierce. When I thought I had a baby daughter, I was the only one that didn't pierce my child's ears. Thank goodness.
Yes.
So now that's something irreversible. So there's a whole lot of traditions that I didn't follow.
There's a few that I know naturally I will. I think it's just the Greek in me. I think it's more cultural.
It's superstition,
I think. It is superstition more than it is faith.
Mm.
And, you know, my niece and nephew to this day dress themselves with a singlet inside out to ward off the evil eye.
Yeah.
Friends of mine will wear red because that attracts, and that's a Croatian superstition to ward off the evil
eye. I'm not going to tell you what I do because I'm embarrassed, but
we wear a blue eye so the baby will have, you know, and we wear a blue mati, which is an eye to, again, ward off the evil eye.
Mm.
All these crazy, kooky kind of things. I've also, another bit of unsolicited parenting advice is apparently you never leave babies' clothes or children's clothes out overnight to dry on the line.
I don't know that one. Okay.
I don't know why, but apparently it's important.
Okay.
I wasn't allowed to buy any before the baby was born.
Oh.
No, that was a big thing. But I did read your Facebook post the other day where you were talking about what Greek parents say in public. I can relate to this.
And I kid you not, those, if you understand the literal translations of some of those things, it is, I will slaughter you. I will, you know, rip your head off and tear your hair out.
Yeah.
But it's kind of said in a loving way.
Well, we have the same thing, and I didn't realise that you know, my grandparents will hold their hand up like this, and you can't see because I'm on radio, but I'm holding my hand up as though I'm about to slap you, saying, Manada, which is short for Manada Pichagani. It's like me sleeping with the fishes at the bottom of the sea. And I thought that was perfectly normal to be told off like that.
Oh, of course.
And until The Godfather came out, it's showing my age. So,
and this is a language that would be used when you're little.
It's perfectly normal language. Okay. And now I do it to my children. Like, oh, man,
but at least they think it's hilarious. Like people, you know.
Oh, they know what it means.
But I mean, the people around you don't. So,
yes, this is true. So I can say it to them in public and they just don't have a clue. So,
what was some of the most annoying advice you were probably given?
And you don't have to you know what? Any here. Advice? Because I think the best thing is that people will give you lots and lots of advice. Do what's right for you.
Yeah.
I think that's the best advice. Everyone has their own way of doing things. Do what works for you.
I have heard one bit of advice that I actually think is marvellous, and I will be taking this on. A new mum had said to myself that people will come over and they'll all ask you, how can I help? How can I help? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And she said, the thing you need to do, she goes, you're going to have so many things you're unable to do. She goes, get a whiteboard. All those things, fold this laundry, do this or, you know, whatever is that task that you're just not going to be able to do, add it to the whiteboard. So when somebody does come over and asks, how can I help?
Oh, don't worry, your mum will be there doing it.
I was going to say, I don't think you'll need any additional help with the Greek nonnas.
Let's give that advice to others.
Yeah.
Make a whiteboard list, and that way if a guest comes, you can politely go, actually, that's lovely. There's a list over there. Pick whichever item you'd like and they can do one of those. I'm thinking, you know, there is some plastering in one of the spare rooms that I'd love somebody to do. There are some lights and probably smoke detectors that need changing. I'm too short. I'm adding these things to a list.
Do you know what? I think you are underestimating yourself and your partner because I think you're both super organised people and you'll be surprised. It's, you know, it's crazy and busy, but it's so much fun and it's, you know.
Fun. She said fun.
It's Joe, fun.
You're looking at me and looking at her like, what are you talking about?
Oh, look, it is. It's so much beautiful. Fun. It's special and it never happens again and it's gone in the blink of an eye.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, who should I be trusting? Because that's the thing. I saw my mum with my nieces and nephews and the advice she was delivering was 1970s-esque.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Child rearing.
Yeah,
kind of has gone out. Yeah, that's not safe.
Some of the things that my nonna and my mum told me, no. I mean, for God's sake. I mean,
nonna. Slip them on their tummy.
My nonna sent my mum to school with garlic at her belly button, raw garlic, because she had a stomachache taped into her belly button. I mean, you know. No. Listen to your maternal health nurse.
Actually, that is great advice, I would say.
Let's just say I've got this thing in my wrist that I think wouldn't creak the way it creaks had my parents just taken me to, and I was probably three, should have gone to a hospital. Instead, they brought a Maya, and that's a witch doctor, over to the house when I busted my wrist. So, yes.
So that's what my biznonna was in the Sicilian village. That was her job. So they thought they knew everything about medicine.
Yep. No, the maternal nurse is wonderful and neutral. They're Switzerland. So when your mum's giving you advice that you don't want to hear, just ring them.
But then I've also heard that they can sometimes be a bit intense in their advice.
I was lucky. I had a good one.
You had a good one?
Yeah.
You're probably thinking of the breastfeeding nurses.
Yes, I've heard. There's a few strict do this, do that. No?
Yeah, yes. Just stick with the maternal health nurse. You'll be right.
And I'll be right.
And if you have a mother's group, sometimes that you hit the right one and they're lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're really lucky.
Steph, I think you mentioned you had a good mother's group.
I had a good mother's group in Sydney with my first, and then when I had my second, that just kind of flowed on because we were all sort of having second around the same time. But then I had my third many years later here in Melbourne, and the maternal nurse said, you know, there are specialised mother's groups for older mothers, and I was so offended.
No.
Yes. That I was just like,
no.
Steph, how old were you? I was 40.
Oh,
we were all that age in our mother's group.
But anyway, so I didn't attend mother's group in Melbourne, and I was new to Melbourne, and it probably would have been the best thing, but I was so offended that I
would have been offended too.
I know, so anyway, so
Well, speaking of offended,
come to my mother's group.
Speaking of offended, I have been reading some. I've been going to the books because apparently books is where all the answers are right and not social media.
I'd be
media.
Careful about books.
Yeah,
too.
I would well, too.
Yeah, I gave up the self-help books.
Me too.
You know what? There is a book here called Advice to the Wife, and on this chapter on raising your child, because we gender everything, don't we? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, that really annoys me. But yep. we'll talk about that in a sec. This book here, Advice to a Wife, would like to tell mothers, new mothers, to not poison the baby with anger. Breast milk.
Oh, please.
Yes, I kid you not. God. This is true because, you know, and it's basically blaming angry mothers for causing colic in their babies. So, you know, basically anything that, any worried thoughts, you're going to pass on to your child.
Rubbish.
Well, yeah. My grandmother, not my mother, but my grandmother told me when I was breastfeeding my first son that one breast provided sweet milk and one breast provided savoury milk because I was having trouble feeding with both breasts. And she said, oh, that's because
Stop
one...
It.
I was like, oh. I don't think that's true.
Oh,
but
no.
She was absolutely convinced about it. You know, and she was in her late 70s.
That's insane. Yeah. Oh, God. Well, lucky I'm not breastfeeding because they'd be drinking gin, and we've already covered gin. Did you have any of that? So we Ouzo, we put on the gums too for teething. Is there an Italian homemade?
I didn't
vinoy
let
equivalent?
Anything like that happen. I just no. I made sure I kept Mum and Nonna at arm's length
because they will do that
for that
stuff.
Kind of stuff.
They will rub a child with. I was rubbed. Oh. I mean, you will put out baby oil in the hot Sydney sun, methylated spirits. You know the Greeks and Windex in my big fat
no,
Greek
I
wedding.
Didn't, no,
we use methylated spirits on everything because
really?
Apparently that's going to break everything. Not paracetamol. God forbid you. Give a child paracetamol, hideous, frightening. Any last tips for any parents out there, Mama Jo? What would you reckon? Especially this gendering thing.
Oh, look, it's I would say just, you know what, you'll find you can't really fight your child much on what they want to wear.
Yeah.
Just give them lots of choices of toys and clothes. Just let them choose and give them lots of choices.
Let toys
be toys. It
doesn't
mean, let toys be toys and let clothes be clothes and let books be books.
And that's the thing. I know I'm a butch lesbian and I've already been warned not to buy a denim on denim outfit for this child.
You know what? If you have a princess little girl, there'll be nothing you can do about it.
Nothing. Exactly right.
You should see my niece will only wear skirts. She's four. Only wear skirts and skirts that twirl. Nothing else.
Well, that's the thing.
There's nothing you can do about it.
There is a photo and I think I actually put it up on our Family Matters page. Me in kindergarten wearing denim on denim.
There you go.
I was 4 years old. Go.
Kids know what they
it's
want.
It's innate.
Kids
it
know.
Is,
and my mother to this day, well, not to this day, she has improved. But when I came out, she blamed me being a lesbian because I never wore dresses. She might have been right. But coming up next, we have some other great parents. We have the wonderful commissioner coming in to give me some commissioning advice or maybe baby advice, one or the other. You're listening to Family Matters on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Family Matters. It's Beck and Gina. Gina, 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 you're having a child, my friend.
Oh, my God, I'm not nervous at all. I'm
Is it making
papers.
You more or less scared that we've brought in all these wonderful people to give you advice?
I feel a lot safer with these people.
Yep.
Giving me advice because I've got their phone numbers now and we'll speed dial them.
That's true.
Whenever I need to.
But
now,
we've brought in the big guns now.
Total big guns. Total big guns.
How big are the guns we've brought in, Gina?
At the commish.
Hey,
we have
going?
The commish who was our second guest here on Family Matters.
Roy Allen, legend.
Roy Allen, welcome.
Thank you. But I've
but
brought, my
brought
big
your
guns.
Big guns.
Yes.
You said this in the second episode.
Yep.
The real big guns, the real master. Kate, welcome. Welcome,
Thank
Family
you.
Matters.
What a power couple.
I know.
I'm fangirling.
Every good
so
commish
bad.
Is a good K.
Yeah. That's what they say.
That's the secret to the success, isn't it, Ro?
That's in
well,
the constitution.
It is to having a kid for
yes.
me. I had a child with someone who's done it before. So Kay
good
has two
tip.
Adult boys and I thought, well, you've done this. You've done baby stuff. You've
she had good
clues.
Pedigree.
Good pedigree, all sorted, and I could just, you know, defer the big question. So I cheated.
Well, you didn't cheat because you were the person who, and you have frightened me with this, there is no butch maternity wear.
There
I can assure
no
you there is no
wear.
Butch maternity
There is a
wear.
Small market for it. I just wore my dad's shirts. I just grabbed all my dad's shirts and that's what I wore.
What about like an overall? or something.
For 9 months.
Well,
be denim. I did see some denim in a shop the other day, like for maternity denim, and I was still like, no.
Doesn't cut it.
No.
Doesn't cut it.
It really doesn't.
No.
It's frightening.
For butch and gender diverse people having a baby, I tell you, it's hard. Nobody stands up for you on a tram. They just think you've got a beer gut.
They still, you know what? My partner is feminine and is visibly pregnant, and they rush to push you out of the way to get those seats.
Yeah, yeah.
Lucky they haven't done it in front of me. I would have just quietly.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, look, Roe and Kay, experienced parents, here to teach you things, Gina.
Life, go.
I'm going to start with Kay.
Yeah, go Kay.
Okay. Kay, what's your number one thing you think Gina needs to know in the lead up to this? Or maybe some advice for her as a partner of someone about to have a baby.
So we're on the home run now, right?
Oh,
we're getting very close.
Home stretch.
Yeah. Partner's probably almost just about finished work.
Yeah.
Time to pack the delivery bag.
Yes.
The delivery bag is very important. There's a few things in there you really shouldn't forget.
There is a guilty things look on Roe's face.
Yeah, well, understandably. I was away in Tasmania when Roe went into labour.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was doing Ro had to pack her own delivery bag was actually, you know.
When my water had broken.
In labour.
And I woke Kay up. She was doing a consultation piece down at Tasmania. I woke her up at 5:30 and says, my water's broken. And so while she rushed back, I packed the bag.
Oh, my God.
Was pretty bad. What it had in it.
Okay. What was in the bag, Mom? What was in the bag?
I have no memory, but Kay, I'm sure.
All right, Kay, really, what was in the bag? What should have been in the bag we'll cover later.
No.
What was in the bag?
Well, what was in the bag? I think you had a few shirts.
For a three-year-old.
It's true.
Oh,
let me tell you, the end of the day, you're going to take home a baby. This baby is not going to be a size 3.
No.
This will be like a double
Even
O.
I know this, right?
That's right. Small little triple one baby O's. Outfit to get at home. That's what you need. Yeah.
In my defence, I was in labour.
True. I was still working, so I was I was standing at the kitchen bench emailing my staff directions. Right, because I was 3 weeks early. My partner was in
Tasmania. Okay, this is making us nervous.
My mother was in Wodonga. I was in Violettown. And I was on my own. It was 5:30 in the morning and my water broke.
Oh, my God.
I was a little stressed.
We just like, here's some stuff around the house.
We'll just look at it in the bag.
Did you drive yourself or call for help?
Oh, God, no, I called for help.
Oh, good.
I called my neighbours. As you do in the bush.
Neighbour.
Oi, the rains are here. I mean, my water's broke. Something's happened.
One or the other.
I think it's on.
So that's good advice, Kay. Do you think maybe Gina should be helping pack the bag for Karen? Do you think, from your experience, this should be something Gina should take on?
What should be in this bag?
What should be in this bag?
Because I hear you get a bounty bag from the hospital.
Well, maybe you
do. Like the chocolate.
That would depend on where you deliver. There was no bounty bag where we went, let me tell you.
So what are the key things?
Chocolate?
All right. Chocolate.
Forget the reading material and all the lovey things like massage oils and the little candles.
And look, I've got a bit of experience.
There'll be no time for that.
I was my sister's support person when she delivered, and it was a 23-hour labour that turned into an emergency caesarean between my sister, her husband, and a lot of changed hospital staff because they kept changing shifts. Those heat bags, all those plans went out the window. She wanted none of that, none of us. She wanted my mother.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, because the instructions before my sister went in was don't call mum and dad because they'll fuss. And a couple of hours in, call mum, get her here now. And we were just like shoved to the back of the room, worried to death.
Yeah.
And none of that stuff kind of mattered at that moment.
Jeez. Good support people.
Good support people.
Yeah. Someone you can really hang, that will really hold you. Absolutely. Aww.
Now, Ro, as the person having the baby.
Alone.
What do you
know? She rushed. No. I put the listeners out of their misery. No.
She got there.
I was 36 hours of labour. She had a hell of a long time to get back from Tasmania.
What's the number one thing you think that Gina should be doing as a support person? Or what could she do wrong that she shouldn't do?
I'm good under pressure, mate.
Oh, apologise for everything.
Totally. That's already happening. That's been for love. Is she listening? I'm in a bit of trouble. I am. I'm taking nothing on. It's all good. Great.
Yeah. I think you'd be right, mate. I think you've actually assisted, you know, before.
Yes.
It's not going to be
But I don't think you should underestimate, because it's your own kid, it'll take you to a whole different level. Your emotions. I mean, I'll tell a story about Kay now. She's told a story about me. Kay was like, oh, no, it's okay. I don't need to cut the cord. I don't need to. No, it'll be right. And then in the heat of the moment, you know, you did want to. And you know, and I can't see anything because it's, you know,
yeah.
there's a sheet, thank goodness,
protecting you from all that. That's gone.
Just at the moment, the surgeon said to Kay, would you like to stand up and see? And you didn't think you were going to want to, and you did. You stood up, and so all I could see was Kay's bottom lip quivering from the experience.
What a moment. You stand up from behind the sheet, you know, and you're just watching this wet, dripping child being lifted out of your partner's belly. It's just extraordinary moment. It's
wow.
Not something you
wow.
see every day.
No, it's not what they show on the videos, I can assure you. Mm. I've had sit through a few now.
Mm. Now, there's another thing I think Ron Kay can help you with.
Please.
Now, as I understand it, babies cry.
A lot.
Yeah.
What's your tip for the crying baby at night, perhaps?
Mm. I've read a lot of bad stuff. Mm. Like, I've been going through all the bad parenting advice, and when it comes to controlled crying and crying, there's hideous stuff out there. So please, I'm taking notes. I've got a pen, got paper. I'm ready.
Well, if you're not a controlled crying person, then I guess maybe I should just leave it at this point.
I don't know what to...
Well, my gig is that I like to sleep at night, and this is my second time around for parenting, and I was like, you know, I'm not going to do that sleepless thing again. That's just hideous. So when our daughter was 3 months old and Ro was heading back to the office, back to work, and we all need to get a decent night's sleep, I just kind of barricaded myself to the door and said, no, I need to let her whinge for a bit. No, she is only whinging. No, she's not crying yet. No, it's okay. She's still whinging. No, you cannot go in at this point.
Just she was barricaded up against the door.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, barricaded herself between me. Because everything hormonally says go and pick up the baby.
Get the baby.
And Kay's just standing with her arms spread out across the door saying, go for a walk, Ro, go for a walk. I got this. You'll thank me later. She's only whinging. She's not crying. Go for a walk now. And I still remember this. Like, it was 3 months I had of leave. And then the night, because I was like night parent, right? I had to get up. But the night I was going back to work, Kay just grabbed Alex and gave her a little rock in her arms and said, okay, now the night mummy's going back to work. And I'm not a night mummy.
Oh.
So it was like hypnosis. From now on, you will sleep through the night. And unbelievable. She woke up at 6 o'clock. I'm like, you're kidding me. Couldn't you have done that a week ago? I know. It was like fair income. No lie. And then that's what she did. And I went back to work 3 months. And then we got our
child
life back.
Whisperer.
Wow.
You're
on speed dial. I've got your number, okay? I'm getting yours.
No, I'm not
every,
a night mummy.
Every kid
I'm
is different.
Not a night mummy.
Gina, every child is different.
Oh, that's what I've heard, unfortunately. You
know, yeah, everyone's different.
But I heard a friend of mine was kind of saying one of the most frightening nights is not the night they cry through. It's the first night they sleep through. And you don't sleep.
You wake up and you think that
because
child.
You're checking for breathing. You are not like you. She said it was the most frightening night.
You haven't got one of those things underneath them with.
Oh yeah, Gina went and bought one. Most expensive. Because I said to her to get that piece of equipment. She said, "You're nuts. You're crazy. You're an OSA. You're going to be a helicopter parent." Blah blah blah. And then she said to me, "Gina, I should have bought that piece of equipment. And do yourself a favor and buy that piece of equipment."
What is it?
So what we're talking about is it's a little pad
disc
underneath the mattress of the baby. Yeah. And it actually detects when the baby stops breathing.
Oh, that's good.
And an alarm. Beeps you.
Yeah. I'd get that. Mm.
Oh, we had that.
It's fabulous.
We had that.
Yeah. I'm going to just start putting it under the dog just to test that it's working, because I'm that kind of person that wants to double check that everything's working.
But I don't think you want it to work.
Well, that's it. If the dog sleeps on me, so if the dog, you know, and the thing doesn't, I know it's working. Mm. I will double check everything.
Now, you know, there's a difference between the dog and the child.
Can I say one of my – I'm afraid I'll do what my best mate did. And he was, you know, he was the stay-at-home dad, and he had a dog he'd loved for 13 years who's no longer with us, and he was pushing the kid in the pram, and he was walking the dog, and somebody came up, you know, and said, oh, and how old's the little one? He forgets that he's pushing a baby and starts talking about his dog because he's not used to talking about this child. He's so used to talking about his dog. I fear that might be me.
Yeah, me too.
I'm gonna have to train the dog to like the pram because my dog's scared of prams.
Now, did you say your dog sleeps on the bed?
Yeah, with
don't
me.
Let the baby sleep in the bed.
No. That one I know.
You got that one?
Yeah, got that one. Yeah. Totally got that one. There's lots of Sid's training on that one. That one is...
Well, Sid's reason, and because they grow multiple. Up and they want to keep sleeping in your bed.
Yeah, the co-parenting thing. I've heard sometimes you have to, but no, I'm no, quite happy
no,
to...
No.
The dog sleeps. That's how no. I sleep. But then, the dog in my arms.
No action for you, Gina. No.
That's it.
Oh.
Yeah. No action. And our that's child what I'd be
like
worried
a school
about.
Child. So our yes. child doesn't lay straight in bed. Surprisingly.
Where did she get that from?
And she to be honest. Swivels and then kicks you or headbutts you out either side of the bed.
So she comes in, well, she doesn't do it now, she's nine, but she would come in and you do the soothing and everything, but she knew that she was going back to her bed.
And
she
my would never parents wake were up. Strict like that.
Yeah, with us.
Yeah, I was never allowed in the bed and I'm a hands up. I think I'll be following. Look, I can barely fit on the bed now. There is a very pregnant person. There is a very big pregnancy pillow. There is a dog and plus another pillow in case that pillow kind of gets in the way and then maybe there's me and a bit of sheet, but, you know.
All right, Ro K, what's the best thing about being a mum?
You go.
You go.
It's the look on their faces right now, though, Beck, isn't it?
Oh, when they do something really nice. You know, and you just go, oh, that's so good. That's so lovely. I mean, the most recent one for me was seeing a stand-up in front of 3,000 people and say, you know, I just want to thank the Yes campaign for making my family safe. I love my family and my family loves me no matter what the survey says.
She was amazing. And, like, good sense of humour, your kid, too. Yeah, like, I liked her little Kabish Junior.
Love it.
I was like, I like you. You're good.
Very cool.
Yeah, watch this space. We've created a monster.
Yeah.
Love it.
So when they do something like that, because she said to me, you know, Mum, I think I'll write you a speech. I said, righto. And then I read it and I cried. And I said, this sounds like something you really want to say. So I asked the other mummager whether, you know, she was allowed to get up there and do it. And yeah, so I think what I love about having a kid is just those special family moments, you know, where it's just, you just, I mean, I still think, you know, all the stuff that I get to do in my job, and I'm so honoured to be Victoria's Commissioner, the best thing I've ever done is have Alex.
Oh, that's so cool.
So good luck.
Very good. Kay.
My proudest moment?
Yeah.
For me, it's about watching them grow and becoming their own independent little people. And Ro talked about the gig that she did. But what she didn't say is that before Al got on stage, Al turned around to me and said, I was doing the hush-hush mum, you know, just, you know, don't forget to take your box out and stand on it and pull the mic down and that sort of stuff.
Logistics.
Yeah. She turned around to me and she eyeballed me and she said, Mum, I've done bigger gigs than this.
Oh!
I've got it.
And she's
and
had.
I just kind of went, oh, yeah, you go, girl.
Your kid's going to run the world.
That is fantastic.
That's amazing.
Now, what are some other parenting tips? What are some of the worst tips you've probably received and then later thought, oh, actually, that's a good idea?
I think the worst thing you can tell expecting parents is the horror stories about pregnancy. Yeah.
Why do they do that?
Why? It's like some rite of passage. It's hideous.
Someone shared a story the other day, you know, oh, in this condition, somebody can bleed to it. Why? Why? Why do we scare women that are about to have a child and expecting parents as well? Why do we do this? It's cruel. It is cruel. Tell funny stories.
I went I went to a baby shower last week.
Can I say I've actually vetoed a baby shower. I'm not a fan and I've said absolutely no baby shower.
This one
I think it's a gift, Gina.
Not interested. I don't have storage. I don't want
this one had a lot of champagne. I was fine with that.
Oh, that was okay. We'll go to the pub.
But I was the only person there that didn't have kids, hence why I was sitting next to the champagne. But it was like they all went round in this circle telling these horrendous stories about, oh, well, my doctor didn't turn up and my baby came somewhere. And I was just like, honestly, like, why do people even have children?
Yeah.
If you heard, it sounds awful.
Yeah.
It's why they tell the stories at the shower, because it's too late after
that. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
No, it's hot. It's too late. So I think that's the worst
thing. Nobody does it in the IVF clinic as they're kind of waiting to go see a fertility specialist. No, it's there.
So I heard all the most horrible stories in the world and you know, mine adds to it. 36 hours. Mine was worse than any one of those that I ever heard. So I was like, well, you know, I was good.
Kay had enough time to fly.
Oh, yeah, she could have totally flown around Australia and come back.
Oh, my God, yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, for me, everyone has their own story. The plans never go to plan. Everyone's got a vision about how it's going to be, and yeah. it rarely, I think, works out like that. The gig for me is that have good support people around yeah. you, and then people, and then you'll manage whatever happens, however it goes.
It's quite funny. I mean, so my blessing is meeting all the rainbow families that I've met doing this show, and I think I've come into it at the right time in my life to meet the people that I have and feel blessed with those connections. But I'm also very ethnic, and I've learnt from experience that it's not just one mother, one father, or one sibling that cares for you. It is a Greek community. It is a community. It's a village that raises this child. And in a Greek family, any child, you know, can be disciplined by any of that village for doing anything wrong. So that village kind of, you know, community raising this child is something I'm really comfortable with. For our rainbow families, is there something a little bit different when it comes to taking care of our little ones?
Well, you know, it's interesting. In Violetown, and we lived in Violetown for the first 7 years of Alex's life, the village helped raise Alex.
Yeah.
You know, most of those people were, you know, straight couples that lived all around us. I think in the last 2 years, definitely the LGBTI village has raised Alex.
Yeah.
So, you know, we have gaybies now, so kids of rainbow families who are old enough to babysit Alex.
Oh,
right? So we
that's
pay
awesome.
We pay gaybies to babysit Alex, oh, right?
And so you are awesome. Getting
yeah, Alex will be ready to be the baby awesome. Like soon. Not she's not, so maybe not quite soon, but by the time you want to go out.
By the time I'll be allowed
to leave the house.
And my 60th.
The other thing is, you know, Because of my role and because of the fact that I'm out a lot at night and, it you know, I think it doubles the output when I take Kay. That means yeah. we take – I believe we do. It does. And we take Alex. And the community really looks after Alex. So yeah. if we're up the front doing, you know, stuff or I'm up front doing stuff or whatever, Alex is floating around eating the supper off the table on the side or whatever she's doing. Like at Breast Green Victoria, she kept sneaking into the front and eating all the food.
Smart kid.
Good kid.
The community really just says that's, you know, like they've adopted Alex just like they've adopted me, really, yeah. I think, our whole family. And I think that's what you can look forward to as a rainbow family when you're with other families and in community. Mm. They're our kids. They're all our kids and we all look after our kids. And
totally.
You know, that's what this community is about and I'm, you know, I'm so grateful for that.
And that we were meant to have Jack Tomlins on tonight, but she's been working her absolute bejesus off in the last couple of weeks. And she, I, you know, when we talk about unsolicited parenting advice, I'm going to reshare a video where she, you know, she gives her top tips to rainbow families in 10 minutes. It's some of the best advice I've ever heard, and I've actually taken quite a bit of that on and will be replaying it probably to a couple of people in my family, you know, with the impending birth. But people like Jax is someone that lives in my local area. You know, she's introduced me to other parents in the area. So that makes me feel so – it's that I get comfort from, to go, there's other people that have done this before me, done it really well. And that's the thing. I've met these gay babies. They're some of the best humans that I've ever met.
Gabies are very evolved.
My goodness, we interviewed 17 for that. I'll never do that again.
They're all smarter than me.
Oh, my goodness. When we asked them, you know, we asked the question, if you were Prime Minister for a day, what would you do? And, of course, they all said, yeah, of course, marriage equality.
Like it was
course.
Done deal.
But the stuff that then followed, you know, taking care of refugees, climate change, taking care of our environment, banning live export. I was just blown away to hear these just beautiful little humans with amazing parents.
I know. And that shows amazing parenting. You know, that whole debate about people saying you've got to worry about the kids.
Oh.
These kids are great. They're fine.
I'm so looking forward to it.
They're more evolved than many adults that I know.
Yeah. Well, we are very thankful that you've come in. The commish and the person behind the commish, Kay Rowe. Kay, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your advice. Thank you so much for taking care of us and creating a safer space for someone as ditzy as me to go out there and have a bubba. This bubba's going to be very safe.
Kay, if Gina needs you to come and barricade the door at 3 a.m., I'm sure you'd be happy to do that.
Not 3 a.m. I can do it about 7:30.
After the ABC News.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be on. You are listening to Family Matters here on Joy 94.9. You are listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters. It is party mode, holiday mode, so much that I've just had to get Beck to get the team back into the studio.
Yeah, they're back. That's because I'm the responsible one.
2 hour show we've almost just had, team.
2 hour tour.
2 hour show. What an amazing show. I know we were meant to talk a lot about unsolicited parenting advice, but we just heard really good parenting advice from some absolute gem parents. We've had everyone in here from from Dano and Mason. We had Fiona from Chicks Talking Footy.
Award-winning.
Multi-award-winning. God, you guys win everything these
just
days.
Just throwing that in there, are you?
Just totally.
Clang.
We had the wonderful Jo Hurst, Gender Fairy, and, you know, to have not only Ro, but the person behind the commissioner, Kay. That was cool.
That was good value.
That was always good value.
They could look after me, I reckon. Like, if they wanted to babysit me, I'd be like, yeah, cool, let's do it.
I will sleep through the night. Okay, yeah. You won't have to barricade the door.
You won't have to barricade the door.
You're quite safe. But now we've got the whole team back. The Family Matters team, it has been, Dave, you did the math. How many episodes have we done?
70 episodes.
70. And some have been double episodes as well with Stand Up Straight.
Yeah, and we've done a couple of specials as well. We did the pre-pre-party.
Pre-pre-party.
Before Mardi Gras. We did the Breakfast Does, what is it? Family Does, what was it called?
Family Matters Breakfast.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yesterday. We did do Announcement Day. So have you guys learned anything from this last 70 episodes?
Beck and I. And
I learnt delving through a gay man's freezer might be a bit of a surprise. You guys can join the dots from that one.
Dr. Anne Paulinus, when we were talking about...
I stole your joke.
Talking about freezing sperm. Yeah, don't look in Dave's eye straight.
Yeah, we've even been talking about the home insemination, the home turkey basting.
With Dr. Ruth McNair, yes.
Yeah, like the time and then you not to have it cold, you want to keep it warm, that kind of stuff. I was like, wow.
And that's the thing, the most amazing thing we were talking about with Dr. Ruth, they sound like such simple things, but that information isn't actually out there.
No.
And so many mistakes can easily be made because people hear stuff in the States and get things all wrong.
You can really be a happy little Vegemite.
You can be a happy little Vegemite like Georgia, actually, running into Georgia. So Georgia was one of the first gay babies we spoke to, who's 21 years old. Her mums had put an ad in the trade papers. There was no internet back then when they were looking for a donor. So they had literally put an ad in the gay papers looking for a donor. And Georgia and her brother are here. And she was super excited to actually have... She was super excited to, you know, hoping that her parents would be allowed to get married. And, of course, I ran into her at Trades Hall when the Yes campaign result was done. And the first thing we kind of hugged and were like, oh, my God, your parents finally get to get married. So, yeah, she's a very happy little Vegemite now because her parents, hopefully, in a couple of weeks, will actually be able to get married.
I've learnt I'm probably going to keep my legs shut because having a kid sounds pretty scary.
Sounds very scary.
And the other thing I've learned is 70 episodes, Gina, still haven't found David Day.
What are we going to do about that?
I don't know. I'm going to try international. I'm in Europe, I'll try and find Dave a European date.
Polish.
Polish.
Yeah, that's my request.
Oh, Polish.
Let's not forget Adrian's input into Family Matters as goodness, well, because I think we spent the first 30 episodes talking about his kids' lunches and what that first day of prep will be. I remember Mama Miss you giving a lot of advice to Adrian, and he just didn't get it. I wonder how he's actually going now. He's
eating the family pet. And
oh, my God, Daisy the duck.
I think the way Adrian was going on about those school lunches is that he was about to get 1 hour of sleep and then roll the sushi ready for the...
Like, seriously, Steph, like, the idea of rolling, hand-rolling it, no.
I
I know. I listened to that episode on my way home. I felt so guilty about the things that have gone into my children's lunchbox. Because he was talking about frozen berries and plain yogurt. And like, my children would throw plain yogurt at me. Like, no, thank you.
My kid's like, can I do some cheese, some butter on bread? I'm like, I don't care. As long as you're going to eat, that's fine. Go.
Yes, just jazz and tomato sauce. Yeah, that was a big one in my lunchbox.
And those Italian beans he feeds the kids.
Chechi.
Oh, beans.
We've all learned about chechi.
What about the whole episode, Dave, where Adrian taught us about his recycling bin?
Yeah. What was that called?
It had a weird name.
Had a weird name.
Bokashi
as well.
Bin. Don't Google image that if you spell it wrong.
No.
Also, he struggled to say the word lesbian. He struggled to talk about how babies are made. So he used to make food references.
So you've got the eggs, the cake mix,
the milk.
And that's when we had Daniel Milkman Nags join us on that famous episode. That was a very fun episode. We have learned actually a lot. And that's the thing. These podcasts are there and they're incredible podcasts. Yes, Mama Mish.
But the question is, what have you learned to take away when you now can become into a parent? What have you taken away? What have we taught you, Gina?
Let's give Gina a bit of a moment to think about it. And we go to some sponsorship announcers that keep us on air. It is Family Matters on Joy 94.9. We've got about 4 minutes left until we all go on a big break.
Holiday!
Now, some of us are just vacationing around, but Jeannie, you're going to become a nice, lovely lesbian parent.
Yeah, I'm not
We've rattled the tin a little bit, and as an award, we've got to give you a nice big present.
Okay, this is radio, and people can't see that you actually have bought me a present.
It's a very big, large present. It's very expensive. We've gone top end. It's fantastic.
Vera Wang.
It's a Vera Wang.
Dave, have you finally figured out what Vera Wang is?
No, I still don't. But Jeannie, you're going to be a very lovely parent, and when we get back to Family Matters, you're going to be reporting live from
cot. There are some stories. Can I just say, I can alert you now that I have been growing a list of inappropriate things people say to lesbians when they hear they're about to have a baby.
I thought you were telling stories about poo.
Oh, like what?
One I'm going to leave you with.
Poo.
Somebody wanted to know, did you clone this child? Because of all the things, we haven't done a cloning episode here on Family Matters.
Dolly the sheep.
This person was university educated and thought cloning was the option I've gone down. But
is it a Gina clone?
The only clone I've seen is a Star Wars movie.
David 2.0. That's what you call it.
Even though we're taking a little holiday here from Family Matters, we are extraordinarily busy, aren't we, Dave?
I'm still on the tag team on Tuesday morning breakfast. And this Tuesday, we've got the Real Housewives of Melbourne. I think we've got three or four of them on. Just stay tuned.
Goodness.
And we've also got the Shadow Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, who's my federal MP. He's coming on as well.
Now, Steph, you're going to be busy.
Very busy. We are just about to upload episode 3 of Dying to Tell.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. And more episodes to follow. Gina is working alongside me on that.
Yes.
Chicks Talking Footy comes back in January, time for the AFLW season. But we are downloading the top 10 podcasts of our interviews of the year. So go to Chicks Talking Footy on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Mama Mish.
MySpace.
I'm still getting on to... I have my new show that I've just recently started, which is Trans Point of View or Trans POV, and just talking about trans issues, but trying to go on more of a, instead of a 101, we're trying to go and do more of a 201 sort of conversation on the show.
Very nice. And I'm still going to be on Outtakes with my Monday night husbands, Conrad, Daniel and Alan, covering queer film. It's one of my favourite things in the world.
And you can find all those shows on iTunes.
Or if you go to joy.org.au, you can always go into the list of shows and see any of the podcasts there, even past shows as well that haven't been broadcasting.
Totally. And we will still be podcasting for Family Matters. So there are a few interviews that we're going to cover over the summer. No, it won't be the birth. It might just be me crying for like 15 minutes going, it won't go to sleep. You know,
Judy, you can hear smoking.
There are some episodes that we are still going to be covering Family Matters. We're due back in April. We have had such an extraordinary time getting to know our amazing guests and getting to know everyone. So we are very thankful.
Do we know if it's a boy or girl?
It's a bear bear.
It's a person.
It's a person.
It's a human.
Keep watching Twitter. You might find it out on there.
You might find out on Twitter. You might find out on a podcast. You might find out anywhere. But up next, they have kept us, these 70 episodes, they have kept us safe.
Woof, woof.
They've taken care of us every Thursday night.
It's that time of the night where we farewell Family Matters, 70 of them, with this really, really bad sign off that Beck has come up with.
Oh, no, it's bad to that. Woof, great show, guys. See you in April.
Good night. The Good Woods night. Are up next.
Good night, everyone.
Woof, grr.
Woof, grr.
You've been listening to Joy 94.9's Family Matters podcast, your light-hearted look at parenthood and rainbow families, sponsored by Berry Street. Did you know that Berry Street seeks members of our LGBTI communities to become foster carers? Not only do they have a proud tradition of training and embracing LGBTIQ carers, they officially support marriage equality. Learn more now at berrystreet.org.au, a proud Joy sponsor for over 5 years.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.